This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Hey everybody, Tim O from The Bulwark. I am in New York for MSNBC and decided while I was here that I should do some political anthropology, go into the lion's den a little bit. And so I visited the guys over at Barstool Sports. For folks who don't know Barstool, it's an unbelievably popular site that began as sports, but now does sports culture, some politics, reality shows, a bunch of stuff. And, you know, they tend to have a reputation as being fratty. Some of their biggest names, like Dave Portnoy, had interviewed President Trump, and they've got some prominent folks that are pretty MAGA. And so a lot of times people in the Democratic world look at Barstool and see it as, you know, I don't know, what would be the pejorative? Just a bunch of fucking dude bros who just care about tits and are kind of crass and are not natural allies to the Democrats. And I just reject that worldview. I always have. I think that a lot of these guys were Obama voters, and I think that it's incumbent on the Democrats to try to get them back. And it doesn't mean that they just got to prioritize frat bros over every other demo, but it does mean that there's got to be like a concerted effort to reach out to them, just like there's a concerted effort to reach out to any demographic. And so I went over there, chat with this guy, KFC, Kevin Clancy. And KFC is one of the more visible guys over there. And he had did this really compelling Instagram pushing back against the FCC efforts to bully stations into not carrying Kimmel. And I kind of did a deep dive on this and educated a lot of his followers about like the corruption that was really at play here, in addition to the free speech threats. And so I reached out to him, and he's like, yeah, come on by. So I was in the Barstool headquarters. You'll see me. I'm in the seat the KFC usually sits in because I'm interviewing him for our channel. I thought it was cool that they hosted us. I was really appreciative. And I think this conversation should be a wake-up call to a lot of people, about a lot of Democrats, that is, a lot of people in the pro-democracy movement, about just how many votes were left on the table by not actually trying to engage with a massive demographic in this country. And so anyway, I think it was interesting to hear KFC's take on what the Democrats could do. We also had some fun at the expense of these fucking free speech comedians who are going over to Saudi Arabia and doing comedy sets that are approved by the Crown Prince. I mean, we talked about a wide range of issues. I thought it was going to be like 20 minutes. I think we almost went for an hour. So I hope you guys enjoyed as much as I did. I'm going to try to do a series of these. Obviously, I talked to Kirk Minahan a couple weeks ago. If you missed that, we'll put a link in the show notes. Hopefully, it's as valuable for you as it is for me. And let me know what you think in the comments. Subscribe to the feed. Thanks a bunch again to KFC for being willing to do this and for hosting me. And we'll be talking to y'all soon. All right, guys, this is a new one. I'm doing something different. I'm at Barstool HQ in New York. I didn't think I'd be here. I'm in the dad chair for the KFC show. And I wanted to talk politics with him. He's like, come do it in the studio rather than on Zoom. This is way better.
It's so much better. I would rather, you know, it's our setting and backdrop, but your show, and I'd rather do it in person. I can't. The Zoom, man, we did it when we had to do it. Now everyone who still wants to keep doing Zoom. No, it's over.
I like human contact.
Yeah.
I'm a person who enjoys.
If you're having conversations, like, yeah. Yes, you have to.
Yeah. We got to get people out of the off the video game headsets. I'm worried about our young youth.
How much like people latched on to like working from home and doing things remote and like did not give it up, you know? Like it's kind of returned.
You guys are packed here.
Yeah.
What did you guys do during COVID here? Were there no COVID at Barstool?
We didn't. Yeah, COVID doesn't exist.
COVID didn't exist at Barstool.
We took precautions, but we were back in studio, and at least some of us, like that summer, like everything popped off right from when turned from 2019 to 2020.
Yeah.
By like that summer, we were like, all right, we're back.
Yeah. jealous.
But it also was, there was so few people. It was like, in a weird way, we were still
kind of like socially distanced.
Yeah, like right? Our little crew was not socially distancing, but like no one else, you know. So we followed the rules and all that, but we got back to work pretty quickly. So when everyone else years later was like, it's time to go back to work, we were like, yeah, okay, yeah, we've been here.
All right, well, this whole thing started because after the Jimmy Kimmel shenanigans where he got bullied by Brendan Carr, he didn't get bullied, I guess, Nextstar and Disney and stuff were getting bullied by Brendan Carr. A bunch of, like, Barstool-type folks, comedian folks, free speech guys that had been, like, Trumpy or Trump-adjacent, like, spoke out. We're like, this is bullshit. Yep. And so we did a video about it on this channel that included a like a pretty detailed breakdown that you did.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, this guy like is actually doing, like, this is not just it's like I did actual research about the way that because a lot of my viewers, I'm just gonna be honest, like they stereotype you all, right?
Oh, yeah.
And they're totally. Like, it's dumb fucking bros and they just want to say pussy. Mm-hmm. And like, that's the only reason that they like Trump. And there's maybe a little bit of that. But like, you're out here going, no, like what's happening here is they want a merger and the federal government is cracking down on free speech, you know, as part of like a corrupt deal.
Mm-hmm.
And like that, anybody that is for free speech should be against that. And kind of broke down like the Nextstar side of it and what they're trying to do in the merger. And what inspired you to like go so deep on that?
Well, so I first of all, I got a kick out of when you guys talked about it. A bunch of people sent it to me being like, and I know that it was not meant in like a derogatory way, but it was like, this guy is floored that you can put together a human thought.
No, but I was worried that you read. It seemed like you read, actually. Like you didn't even.
Well, so what happened was, I am about as in the middle as you can get, and there are people that I describe it as, there are people I hate on both sides. That's really what it comes down to. Jimmy Kimmel, I don't really care for him. I find him to be almost as not as bad as I just feel like he's the other side that creates division and arguing and so whatever. I have my issue with him. When it first happened, I didn't know about the government. I didn't know about the mergers, all that. So I thought of a point of view of just like, yeah, this guy, like, he's an asshole, fuck him. That sort of reaction.
His ratings suck.
Yeah. And I just, you know, I don't care for I have a problem in general with how everybody, comics, hosts, everything has been politicized.
Yeah.
So that bothers me. And but that's just a personal opinion I have. And that was my take on it, was just my personal opinion. Then I learned, because, you know, the videos I do are usually just like reactionary.
Yeah.
And then I learned about the merger and the FCC and everything. And I've also pretty recently almost had this epiphany of like, if I'm wrong, I'm going to say it. If I don't know something, I'm going to say it. I don't think of that as flip flopping or backtracking. So I was just like, oh, I made a video and I sounded like an asshole and I was totally wrong. And so you might be as well. You might be as well. So here are like the facts. And I felt, you know, really compelled to make sure I cleaned up what I said, which is annoying though, because, you know, the first video did like 1 million views and this other one does 500,000. And I was like, so there's like 500,000 people out there who only saw that opinion.
Well, you had some new people on my channel that didn't see the first video. So there you go.
All right. So it evened out. Yeah.
What, like, what was the response you got to that? Like, were people pissed at you?
Or funny. I mean, because I'm in the middle, like, I do videos one way or the other, sympathizing, hating, whatever. And every time I do that, you know, I lose a bunch of followers over here, gain a bunch of followers over there. People get very confused by me. They're all like, I get a lot of messages being like, so what are you? Are you liberal? Are you a conservative? I'm like, this is the problem, first of all, that you feel the need to like press me and find out. And you can't just have opinions in general. But so the reaction was like when I put out the first video, there was a bunch of people being like, yeah, fuck Kimmel. Yeah. And then I put out the second video and people are like, no, this is still, you know, whatever. So it's a mixed bag when, cause there's just too many people on each side to piss off. Like every time it's often why I try to avoid politics from a business point of view. I'm like, there's not much to gain here.
You just like can't do it now. It's interesting. Like there are a lot of guys like you, like Clay Travis used to be in this boat who used to say like, we just got to get politics out of sports.
And now
right? There's a lot of like middle of the road, maybe center right, you'd say, folks that are like, I don't love that they got like end racism in the end zone. And that stuff is getting so politicized. And it's like the stance for a while then was like, we need to get politics out of sports. And now I feel like Trump won again. And like these guy types of guys who used to say that are like now like puffing their chest up and be totally. Like, nah, man, we need like Charlie Kirk memorials outside the stadium. Mm-hmm. You know, like we need the flyovers, the anthem.
We want your politics out of sports, but yeah. My politics, great. Put it everywhere.
Yeah.
And this is my problem with the whole scene right now. From comics to guys like Clay Travis to whoever. I think I know that world enough. I don't know all these people personally or individually, but I in general, I think understand. I think all those guys are worried about how many tickets they're selling, how many followers they're getting, how many views they're getting in the algorithm. And politics has become a way to do that.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it's dangerous, where at the end of the day, if ever this like crazy political wave ends, those guys are on to the next thing that will benefit them professionally.
Yeah.
Some of them probably have like real ideals, real thoughts, and it matters to them. But I think a lot of them are just like, this is benefiting me right now. Yeah. And that's where I think we run into the issue is like, do you actually care about this stuff? Or is it just, you're going to get a lot of attention and you can benefit personally and professionally from that. That's the issue.
And the more aggro, the more attention.
Yes.
The reality
yeah.
of the politics and stuff
that's
right now.
So it's like,
escalating.
Yeah. And I think at least, I mean, politics has always been corrupt and there's plenty of bad people and assholes and all that. But I do think, you know, several years ago, I guess a long time ago now, the people really involved in it, actual politicians, and then the people who are discussing it and engaged in it actually care about the issues and the substance. And I don't think that's the case anymore.
All right. I want to run through a couple of the issues, but just to like baseline for people. So you say you're in the middle. You say you hate people on both sides. Mm-hmm. It's like, who'd you vote for?
Okay. You're going to hate me for this. I didn't vote.
You didn't vote? No, I mean, literally, one of my big shticks right now is that we need more of the bros who don't pay attention to politics to just not vote.
Yes.
Nothing wrong with not voting.
So I used to be like,
no shame in not voting if you don't feel like you're, you know?
I never voted because I was like, I'm not informed enough. I don't know. I shouldn't be influencing this, you know? And I used to kind of be like embarrassed of that. And I know, you know, there are people who are like, it's all right. And there are people who don't have this right. And by you not exercising it, you're like spitting in all this stuff that I understand where that's coming from. Never more so now than ever. Like I feel vindicated in being like okay. this. You know what I mean? Like,
so you have never voted or never you just didn't vote this time? You've never voted a single time.
Nope.
Really? Like you're not registered? You don't know how to vote? You've not been curious about what happens behind the curtain?
I am. I genuinely think that like, and I'm sure you're probably like, why am I sitting down with this guy now?
No, I love vote? This. But no, this is great.
You're
the representative of the people. That's why I'm sitting down with you. And you know,
well, that is
you're a median voter stand-in.
I guess. Yeah. I would say, I believe that like the people who should vote is like a very,
okay,
very
going
small.
Back to the 1700s.
Yeah. And I know we can't do that, but I'm just like everything else in the world that really matters. You need to like study, pass a test, be, you know, like have a certification, have knowledge. And then there's this.
So where, who like, would you have voted for? Do you think if you were the king, you were the chooser and you got to
in this last election?
Yeah.
God damn that. I mean, it is truly like I would not feel good either way. I really had my like deep issues both
like
ways.
The pressure's on.
I would
it's
say though, I'm you. Like, I, you when you say center up. Right, I would be center left.
Okay. So you would have been, you would have picked Kamala?
I'm not trying to cop out here. I like genuinely.
That's pretty concerning.
I can't in
this
good conscience say
though.
That I would vote for her.
Yeah. Why?
I think that, again, my limited knowledge, but like, I think she was not, they hid her for like 3 years and then we're like, no, wait, she's the best thing in the world. And I was like, she was such a ghost for the rest of that administration to then have them turn around and try to shove that down our throats. And like, look how much money she raised. It's like,
dude,
none of that is indicative of anything.
Don't apologize for this. This is actually like really important. And it's something that I talk about a lot. Like if you identify as a center left person, whatever that means to you, and you have issues with Trump, you don't like Trump. And you're kind of in this sort of cultural milieu that's a little more right?
Mm-hmm.
And like, you didn't have confidence enough to say like, I definitely would want Kamala over him. Like that's failing
a
of Kamala, not
yes.
you, right?
Right
like,
right.
I mean, you probably have some moral failings as well. We'll get into those later,
a
but
bunch.
Like, that's a strategic failing of Kamala, right?
Yeah.
And like, they need, and in this world, like in 2024, 2025, like you cannot run the 1990 strategy.
No.
You know what I mean? Where you're hiding and you're just giving big speeches and whatever. Like people want to be able to feel you and know you and have confidence in you. And they didn't have confidence in her enough to put
that's
her out there.
What
and
really?
I think she would have been fine, actually. But we will never know. I don't know. Right. I mean, I got to spend some time with her. I think that she's cautious. She's a cautious person by nature.
Yeah.
Some of that might be being a black woman and kind of be out there and just the kind of heat you get.
Yeah.
But she also is a cautious person, you know. There are other black women that are in public space that aren't that cautious, right?
Right.
So it's not all identity. But like she definitely was cautious. But if you got time with her, like she wasn't fucking stupid.
No.
I mean, she became the vice president.
That's what's so
funny. You know
funny.
What I mean? But you got to demonstrate that to people.
It's a very funny thing when you hear like regular average people who are absolutely stupid claiming that any of these people are like idiots.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
It's like they're talking about people who are very successful or lawyers or whatever that like, okay, maybe they're not the smartest. Maybe you don't agree with them, but you can't be like these people are trash off the street idiots.
Yeah.
You know, I just felt like, so wait, you're saying you think if she had more than 107 days or whatever? Like,
I don't think, I don't think more days. I think they should have put her out. Like, she did good. Well, let me see what you think. What did you think about the one debate with Trump, between her and Trump?
I thought she did good.
I thought she did good.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I thought that was like the first time that like, I was like, oh, okay. You can kind of stand
so
on your own too.
This is what I was saying at the time, is that like Trump said he'd do another debate, but only on Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And people were like, no, I'm not going to do that. Fuck that. It'll be biased. I'll be like, no, actually. If she should have said, yeah, go into Fox. If you beat him on Fox, then all of a sudden it becomes hard for like somebody like you to be like, oh, they're hiding her. She's dumb.
Right.
Like, it's like,
she went,
oh, no, she went
in a away game and won on her on his turf.
Right.
I
so that would have helped. But I think she should have done more podcasts, more. And she did that one with what's his name? Stephen Jackson, a couple of the basketball guys.
Yeah, all
their the podcast.
Smoke.
Yeah,
yep.
All the smoke.
Yep.
That was fine. And that was fine. I listened to it. But like, and then she did the one with the call her daddy gal, but like that was very scripted.
That's the problem is it was a very much a half measure. It's like they picked and choose where she was going to go and what they're going to talk about and how they're going to do it. And it's a fine line for me because part of me thinks I don't want podcasts and comedy and all that at all influencing this.
Yeah.
But it's also the nature of the world now. You know, I can't put my head in the sand. So you gotta go. She had to do Rogan. She had to do it. She had to do those things that because it's almost
Theo,
it's not even
you
about.
You can't be scared of Theo. Like,
yeah.
He's my Louisiana guy. He's like, just a fucking.
He's not going to like grill you.
Yeah,
you're going to have
he
to
doesn't
laugh.
Know enough to grill you. Like, God love him. You know what I mean? Like,
but that to me, it's not even necessarily what you say or do in those interviews.
Yeah.
Like, I can't think of any moments from the Trump Rogan sit down that like mattered. It was just that he did it.
And
he showed the ability to just.
Here's the other thing: it makes him
for 3 hours.
Yeah, let's.
Yeah.
So if you're out there, I kept saying this at the time about the people, the Trump Rogan thing, because he did. There were some like dumb clips that like people in my world, like anti-Trump world, like we jumped on those clips. Here's a dumb thing, and they were dumb. They weren't so dumb that I can remember what they were now,
that's
right?
What I mean.
But like
they
weren't great. But I watched the whole thing, and I was like, if you're one of these people that's like. Just a Rogan guy, right? Which is like, I'm culturally conservative. I didn't like some of the COVID, lockdown stuff. But like, you know, I'm cool with gays, and I'm not for all this mass deportation. You know what I mean? Like that type of guy. And you have people out there telling you Trump's a Nazi. Like Trump is going to be a fascist. Trump's a total lunatic. He's going to end the democracy. And then you're like, you sit there and watch him with Rogan for 3 hours, and they like,
he's just like
chop it up.
Normal guy.
Yeah, and you're just kind of like, I don't know, man. Like he beat the expectations were set for him.
Yes.
In a way that like allowed him to succeed in that environment.
I think the number one thing that is appealing about Trump to non-political people is the non-politics of it all.
Yeah.
Like he does speak like a normal human.
Yeah.
And that comes at times, a lot of times, it can come across as like uneducated or sounds stupid or whatever, but it's not robotic and it's not, you don't think you're just getting a canned response jammed down your throat. I would love that about him if it didn't come with a lot of other problematic shit.
So what don't you like about him?
I think he's in it for the wrong reasons is ultimately what it comes down to. I think he's just, it's insane to me that some of these people who like Donald Trump would like spit on and wouldn't give them, you know, a sip of water if they were dying in the desert, think that he represents them and he speaks for them. And
so you're talking about like how like the corruption stuff, like the crypto cash and the putting his name on golf courses and wants to be on Mount Rushmore. Like you're talking about like the narcissism stuff.
Yeah.
The
yeah. I think it's about money and power and success for him. And it happens to be that becoming the president is the biggest display of those things. You know, once he conquered real estate and then reality TV, he just needs to keep going. And that ended up being the president. I don't think he really cares about the issues one way or the other. Yeah. I think if he thought he could win an election by being liberal, he would do that too. Like, I think he just goes wherever the money is. I mean, I'm sure some of these issues he cares about. He's an old white man and they're set in their ways. But I think he's just an opportunist and like,
so like the first, like we're like 9 months in, like just the actual like policy stuff. Is there anything that you've been like, that's really good or that fucking sucks? Like that really pissed me off.
Immigration stuff is weird for me. Like I try not to, you know, I think it's very different depending on where you live in the country. You know what I mean? Like to me, I'm like, what's the problem? And I'm sure if you live in a border state, you're like, there's a problem.
Yeah, sure.
The ICE stuff bothers me.
The masks.
What's that?
The masks, like that they're in masks and like hassling people.
Yeah, I think that's, I don't think you need to be like ripping families apart. And I almost feel like they are like seeking that out in a way, you know, and it's like control the border. Everyone's got to be legal. I understand that. But the methods for which you're going about it drives me bonkers. And then also this isn't, I mean, if there was like one issue that I would really latch onto, school shootings, guns, that drives me like fucking insane. And I know that there hasn't been anything specifically policy wise about that, but I just feel like that's like an issue of mine with the right is
they're not even trying to solve it.
Yeah. I mean, it's insane to me. I think it's so beyond politics, parties, all of that. And the fact that there is like, I know it's a new one. I don't believe that, but I understand in a country this size that it's going to be borderline impossible to try to enforce some of these things. And you can argue all the elements and sides of it, but I'm like, can we try?
Yeah.
You know? And if I'm wrong somehow, fine. You can go back to the way it was. That would be politically like where I get hung up, although I know that hasn't been like the focus of this administration.
Good stuff. What do people like?
I wouldn't necessarily say that about people.
Like the anti, like they like that there's no more DEI hiring. I don't know. Do you care about that? But like people would say that. They would say the border is good.
I think the DEI stuff is like, if it's done appropriately, I think it's a good thing. And if it's done inappropriately, it's like almost any other issue in the world.
Economy, how are you feeling about?
Maybe I'm wrong on this. I feel like the economy is independent of
the president altogether.
The president in general. And I feel like you get all the credit when it's good and you get all the blame when it's bad, but I think
that's usually true. I think the tariff thing has been a pretty different example because it's just like kind of random.
The tariffs is another one where it's like, would I love for America to be like self-sufficient and have everything? Yes. But like, can you just throw a 80% tax on it and make it happen overnight? Probably not. So
as a stand-in for your fellow middle of the road white bros, do you think that your immigration thoughts is representative? I don't know because like one, I asked this because of this, like a lot of Democrats are kind of scared to talk about immigration because they've like internalized that like Biden fucked up the border, which he did, and that immigration's a winning issue for Trump, and so they shouldn't talk about it because it's like it's a loser for them. And I don't know, man, I think that like most middle of the road people don't want fucking mass dudes taking people that are gardening.
I think you're pretty fucking crazy if you think that. Like, I think you're an absolute batshit crazy person if you're like, that's good. So, by the way, just before we speak specifically on that, what you just described, I think, is the problem with everything. Like, I go back to politics used to be people who actually cared about the issues.
Yeah.
So if a guy that you don't like or you want to lose agrees with you on an issue or does something that benefits that issue, you should be able to say like, that's a good thing. To ignore, if something good is happening in immigration and you're just like, okay, well, we can't talk about that because that's a point for him.
Yeah.
When one of your ideologies or tenets or beliefs is that thing, that to me is almost the root of all of these problems is I've been saying that politics has become like sports. You have a fan of one team and a fan of the other team.
Yeah.
And when I'm a sports fan, I'm irrational and illogical because we're just talking about sports.
Yeah, right.
If I tell you that the Yankees suck when they're in the World Series, it's like, obviously that's not true, but I'll argue every angle I possibly can. Because at the end of the day, this doesn't really matter. Yeah. When you apply that same fanaticism.
Shouting at old ladies in Florida Gators hats outside Tiger Stadium. I don't fucking care. Right? Right. You are my enemy if you're in blue and orange.
Exactly. And so, but when you apply that same fanaticism of sports to issues of like life and death or, you know, families and all that, that's a big problem. As far as the actual immigration stuff. Yeah. Like, I mean, in my experience, I love Mexican people. They work so hard and are so polite. They do all the stuff that I can't fucking do and don't know how to do. I love them.
Birria tacos so hot right now. Everybody's into birria.
But I also understand that. You know,
you think that's representative, or do you think that I don't know, man. You're walking out there like I was walking through the how many of those people are like fucking hell yeah, get them out.
By the way, in general, I can only speak for Barstool. I don't know about the rest of the manosphere.
Yeah.
I would say 99% of people here are liberal.
Liberal?
Yes.
In the sense that, like, they're not like, I want mass deportations and I fucking like gay people to not get married.
I think, like
liberal, like how?
I think straight up liberal, like in every sense of the word, how they voted, what they believe in. I think you'll get a lot of
why do you think the perception is otherwise?
I think Dave is probably, you know, leans more right. But like Dave, a lot of people here are your typical, I'm socially liberal, fiscally conservative, which is, I think, the most like basic kind of cop out thing in the world.
Like, but how many Kamala voters are out there, you think?
I really think the vast
majority.
More
than half?
Yes. Yes.
Really?
Would you agree with that, Jackie?
I would 1,000% agree.
Dave is a big part of it. And then like Jack Mack, there's another guy, Jack Mack. We make fun of him because if I was really to list off like the conservatives, I could probably name it on one hand and I can like specifically think of who it is. And they're all, by the way, like normal conservatives. They're not fucking crazy people like Trump MAGA freaks, but we make fun of, we call Jack Mack, I call him a proud boy, like being very exaggerating and he's not one. But to the point that the people who are, or at least are publicly so, are pretty much the vast, vast minority.
This is important though, because it is true. Tell me if this is wrong. You guys tell me if it's wrong. Like, okay, out of that demo though, of people that work here, but also like super fans, people that engage with all this stuff, right? Like,
well, that's
Obama
different.
Did way better than Kamala though.
Yeah,
like there was drop off
in vote, like Democrat,
there was less excitement about, like, maybe even if they voted for Kamala, there's less excitement about it. There's more you know, maybe people sitting in it, right? Is that not right? Like,
oh yeah, I would agree with that for sure.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so like that to me means that like, these are gettable people, both that work here, but also kind of in the consuming of the content that are gettable, that they're just not getting.
That's probably the best way to describe it. Like, I don't know everybody's politics, but I do know that very few are like entrenched in their beliefs one way or the other, to be honest. And our gettable is like, that should be the the campaign slogan for the next Democratic Party. 2028, gettable.
So like you were like the, is there a ringer rivalry here? Can I bring up the Simmons pod?
That's
touchy. Simmons had the thing always where he was like, a NFL coach should have a kid that plays video games on the sidelines next to him all the time. Just be like, is this thing I'm doing stupid?
Yes.
I'm like, what, you know, because kids that are playing a lot of hours of video games, you know, can give you a common sense suggestion. So like, if you were just brought in to like a Democratic campaign is just like white guy common sense director. Like that's your only job.
I've said this before. I want to be the director of common sense for the White House.
What would you tell them? What would you tell whoever it is, so that's the next Democrat, that they should do to get more guys like you?
I'm like going through this in real time because I know the typical trope is the left needs to find their version of Joe Rogan.
Yeah, okay.
That said so much, right? First of all, it was Joe Rogan.
Yeah, right.
Right? Like you had him and you blew it, lost it, however you want it. Rogan's an interesting one because I think he's a political guy, but like because of his success almost. Like I think there's a world where he would have just kept talking about aliens and weird shit, but he became COVID. So big. And COVID
radicalized a lot of these guys.
And then I also can understand from his point of view, at least, like when CNN puts up a video where they change the color of your face and they're trying to fuck with you,
yeah.
that's what breeds like, okay, we'll fuck you right back. Yeah, yeah, and that's yeah, how we yeah. get in this. That's like my problem on a lesser scale with Kimmel. And these guys, when you throw shots, they throw shots back. Yeah. And even what you mentioned before, the worst thing that I think the Democratic Party did was calling Trump and everyone Nazis, because it makes you be like,
but Trump calls Democrats evil and shit. Why does he get away with that, but the Democrats don't get away with it?
Well, he's got the seat right now. Like, I agree that that's a double standard that shouldn't exist. But I do think in order to like beat this, I don't know if engaging in there.
So you tell him like what? Like would it be changing issues or just be like talk more normal? Oh, like stop saying woke words. Like
yeah, I also believe that I don't even know if you do need to like find your Rogan, because then I think you're engaging in this back and forth. I would say I think the biggest problem is, if you were to generalize, I think like the right is assholes and the left are pussies.
Yeah.
And I think people would rather be an asshole than be a pussy.
Yeah.
And I think you need to make it kind of figure out a way to combat that like cuck, lib cuck, woke, pussy, soy boy, beta, whatever.
Okay. So thing, I'm not the person I'm not the savior then. Yeah. I own my lib cuck, soy boy, pussy status.
Before any of this, it was probably like 10, 15 years ago, me and my co-host, when alpha became a thing, we were like, we're beta boys. We are the beta boys. Like we are in our feelings. I'm not a tough guy. I don't shoot guns. I can't build a fucking house. Like, but that's the majority of people, I think. Yeah. So like on a specific level, I think you need to somehow, and on like a specific, like tangible policy level, I think focusing heavily on trans issues and some of these issues that are like so small and insignificant, but then become like, in my mind, that's what like being a Democrat means now, is like some of that extreme stuff that really is not a big enough issue to make your whole party represented of that.
So let me just throw out an idea. So you want to butch up like tougher on crime stuff, like that feels like they're kind of weak on, right? So like that was the 90s Democrats, right? Like 90s Democrats were tough on crime, like
right?
That, you know, that stuff kind of changed after 2020, right?
Yeah,
and standing up to Trump, but like not like name calling him, but like having some fucking backbone, like that kind. Like what else? How else do you butch up if you're a lib? If you're Gavin Newsom, what Gavin Newsom's doing? Do you like that? Like the trolling shit?
The problem with it is, it seems like they're not as good at it.
Yeah,
like when they try to like, he's funny. Trump like,
is funny. Yeah.
He's good at like busting balls. He's good
at pointing at Erdogan. Do you see that he was talking about how he's, again, it's like you hate to laugh at this. He's talking about how his election was stolen, which is a lie. But then he's like, you know a lot about election theft. He says that like, that's funny. Right. Like,
it's
that's
funny. And like, it's crazy, but like the little nicknames and shit that work, you know? And then I think the Democrats try to like go tit for tat and they're not as funny. They're not as personable.
Is anybody good? Are there any Dems that are good at it? Who could come in here and like hang with Dave? Like you and Dave and some Dem on the couch?
In terms of like, yeah, just the balls like who and all could that? Hang? I think Pete Buttigieg just seems like a normal, like a regular guy. Yeah. I mean, I don't know enough about him personally, but it seems like when he's talking, he's not like a fucking lunatic.
Did you watch Pete on Andrew Schultz?
I did not. Yeah. No.
He did all right.
But like, yeah, like I think from what I did see of that, he can hang.
Obama.
I think Obama was like the difference with Obama and Kamala. If I'm speaking, like it felt like a competence, ability to do the job sort of thing. And again, that probably sounds so silly from me. Like, again, she's this accomplished woman, but like they did not instill confidence. That's also a problem. I don't think they have like
their guy. I think Obama didn't seem scared going into anywhere. Yes.
I get the impression that a lot of these guys are either scared or they're like, I'm not scared and I'm going to go at him. And it's like, but even by being that flustered or whatever, you're kind of letting him dictate.
It's tough. You can understand why this conversation with some of our viewers will be like, this is fucking frustrating. I'm not saying this you're frustrated, but it's like, it's hard to even pinpoint what it is. Like there's just like a sense, like the vibes are that the Democrats are pussies.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's a little bit hard to pin down.
And I exactly also very do. Much...
going against JD instead of Trump, would that be better? Because JD's kind of a soft boy. Like he's like doughy.
Yeah.
And he's a try-hard.
I think they're
going
to have a real problem replacing him because like there are people who say the same things and believe the same shit, but like you can't replace that.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder how that's going to be or if he even tries to pass the torch. But I also really sympathize. I always talk about this with Tommy and the Pod Save guys. Like it's got to be so frustrating when he's giving a speech or having one of these viral moments where it's like, this is so not presidential. And so, I mean, like, yeah, I can really understand if you're like a hardcore liberal, just being like, this guy has rape charges or accusations and crime and failure. He can't speak. He can't, like, all these. Yeah. Like all these things that you're just probably like, how is this happening? And you can't even begin to like formulate a plan because it's like so crazy. Inconceivable. It's like incomprehensible that this is even the battle I have to fight. So like, I really the frustration.
Sometimes I do feel like am I really on Earth? Sometimes I wake up and I'm like, is this? Am I in like I have a simulation?
Game plan for a made up, you know.
All right, two other things, then we'll just chill. If you have if things come up as director of Common Sense. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, text me. You know, you're like, don't do this.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes it's easier to have specific examples. I just wanted to pick your brain on like on Hegseth really quick and then the Saudi thing. So Hegseth gives this speech. Do you see any of it?
I've just like read clips. About it. Yeah, yeah. So clips it. I didn't watch the whole
thing. So he goes out there. He brings in all the generals, all these gray haired dudes, the dudes that came up with the plan to kill bin Laden. Mm-hmm. Like people have been around. And he's up there and he's just doing like, did you ever see Magnolia? He's doing like that Tom Cruise.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like
the
Tom Cruise motivational speaker thing. It's just like, we're going to do fucking push-ups twice a year.
Kill people.
We are war fighters. We are lethal.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. Like, to me, like, I look at that and I'm like, dude, this is so embarrassing. Like, I'm humiliated for the country. But I do wonder if I'm out of touch. Like, do you think frat bros though, look at that and are like, hell yeah. You're my frat bro translator.
Yeah, but I'm not a frat bro.
I know. This is your job, though. You're here. They're out there. I walked through. I saw the outfits out there. Do we need to bring one of them in?
That is a problem, though, is that, like, I get why, but, like, it is a stereotype that I don't think is often that true. I think you go down south and some of these, but, like, up at least up here, I'll look away, talk away, do sports and comedy and all that in a way, but politically is a whole different story. I thought that was weird. As far as I know, that was like very unorthodox, right? That's not like a annual meeting of the generals. That was like the first time like ever, maybe. So that almost gave me pause that I was just like, why the fuck is this even happening? And then seeing what I saw and reading what I read was like, this sounds like some rah-rah speech from a guy who's not in the military. And I can't imagine these generals respect him or like care about him. I'm a firm believer almost of the economy being separate. I feel like the military should be separate. And like those guys need to do what they do.
This is good. This makes me feel good. Bullshit. Even though you're not, you know, the stereotypical Tennessee frat bro, it still makes me feel good. The people, because that's one of those where I feel like I'm being crazy. I'm like watching this. I'm like, how is this real life?
It was weird.
How is this fucking real life?
Yeah. And with really no tangible, specific like reason. It was just an overall, like, we're going to be badass, right? And like, I would imagine that the top generals are like, is this fucking over yet so we can go back to work? Like, just do the actual job?
I hope so, too. All right, the comedy thing that's happening right now. Like, this is another thing that, like, I get frustrated with being an outsider. It's like, I am a free speech person. Like, I'm cool with all. Like, I thought the kind of, it was overstated, like, the worries about cancel culture on campus and stuff. I was like, I don't know, man. Every time I speak on a campus, they're, like, conservative dudes there. They feel like they can talk. But even still, like, I want everybody to feel like they can say
that. Well, there's a huge difference between you were on campus and in person and then on the internet. I know that's very hard to say with what just happened to Charlie Kirk. But in general, the internet is where a lot of this divisiveness goes down. And in person, you're
– that's a fair point. Yeah. So anyway, I guess my point is I want everybody to be able to speak their mind even if they have fucking terrible, stupid views. Like, that's fine with me. Like, this is America. I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that. And so I was kind of on the side sometimes of like right wing comedian types who are like complaining about like liberal efforts to, you know, stifle whatever their ability to talk or cancel them, whatever it was. And then, okay, now we fast forward and it's like the same dudes are going to give a speech in Saudi Arabia where they get $1 million, where there's like a contract that like lists what they can talk about and can't talk about.
A little bit weird, a little bit contradictory. Like, yeah.
What the fuck? Yeah. What is happening with that?
It's a weird one. Like, I think that all these guys got politicized or even in some cases radicalized, if you want to say that, because of the cancel culture free speech stuff. And I can understand, much like when CNN was like fucking with Rogan, why he would be like combative about it. If you feel like your job and your art and your craft is being threatened, and then there's a party and a person who's like, we got your back, you're going to go that way. Yeah. So I get that.
I do too.
I find it tough that a lot of those guys turned around, like when there were threats of war and the Epstein stuff. And then they were like, whoa, wait a minute. This is not what I voted for. And then there's a whole bunch of people like, we fucking told you, dude. Like, if the whole world was duped, okay.
Yeah.
You know, we voted for a guy and he became a dictator. We didn't see it coming. Yeah. When 50% of the people were like, he's gonna bait and switch you. And then you're like, he bait and switched me. I can understand why they, you know, they don't deserve the sympathy for that. And, you know, I think Theo is like probably the best example. I think Theo, again, I don't know him personally. This is my thoughts. I think he got in over his head. Like, I think
way over his head.
I think that these guys, I think it's very hard. If I was bigger than I am, I'd be like, I want to talk about politics. I want to talk about everything. I mean, yes, but we're talking about guys who like literally influenced the election. I'm not on that level. It's hard to be like, I'm going to talk about this stuff. Hey, it's just my podcast. I talk about whatever I want to talk about. At some point, it's like, no, you are big. You're so big. You have to consider the possibility that ICE is going to take your liking and take your likeness and make a promo video out of it.
If you have the Amish kid on the pod, do whatever you want, right? You don't need to ask her hard follow-up questions. You have the vice president of the United States on the pod, like, and he's lying to you. Like, you got to
do the job.
You got to do the job.
Fucking same thing. Nelk boys doing Netanyahu. These things that are like so crazy. So then I think that all kind of ties into the idea of free speech and doing whatever you want. But yeah, it gets to be a little dicey when it's like, okay, these guys are now telling you what you can and can't do. So, and
I mean, if just like, if we do this like hypothetical, if like Gavin Newsom, if like some big liberal tech guys, Soros and Gavin Newsom were like, we want to rehab the Democratic brand. We're going to pay the biggest comedians $1 million to come and do our comedy festival in Berkeley or whatever. The only thing is, here's the contract. Like, you can't use gendered words, right? So if you have to say, person. You can't say male man. You got to say male person instead when you come. You know, you got to.
Your
jokes have to start with a land acknowledgement. Like, these guys would fucking annihilate them. And they would, like, it would just be material and shit for weeks. And yet they're going to fucking go and like do whatever MBS tells them to do and be like, yes, sir, Mr. MBS, I want the $1 million. Like, it's a pussy move. It's really what it is. Like, it's a pussy move to go over there.
So I think that's a great point, and I'm just thinking through it right now. I think the difference would be that they would benefit from turning it down.
The hypothetical Soros Newsom comedy festival.
So I think the reason why you can move tickets and get followers and make money by being conservative right now.
Yeah, right.
So whatever bag they're offering you, by saying no to the liberals, you'd make that back over here with your fans.
Right.
I don't think there's they're not going to benefit other than like people think you're a good person for saying no.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like, I think they want the money.
So it's all about the bag then. That's what it is though. So that means the free speech thing is kind of bullshit. It's just about
nobody cares about the ideals. They just care about the end result. They like and want free speech, not because they believe that every American should have free speech, because their job requires free speech. And that's how they make their money. I think a lot of those
dudes,
like,
I will give so much love to any of those dudes that make fun of MBS's micro penis.
Imagine if somebody went off script.
Yeah, dude, just go over there and talk about they heard he's intersex and has a micro penis.
And
that's
then
what the world
watch
word
the
is
world
going
hurt.
On. That would get a lot of credit with me. But yeah, I'm not expecting that.
It's funny that I would think that like one conservatives person. Would
Chappelle
be like,
could do that. Like, what does he get to lose? And I guess he could get behanded. I guess he could be put into a prison there, which is why you wouldn't do it, because it's a fucking authoritarian country, which is why you shouldn't go.
Which is why you shouldn't be doing it. I think Chappelle is like the most baffling case to me. Like, the guy who walked away from Comedy Central and $40 million at his peak out of morals is now deciding to sell out now. Makes no sense to me. I think the like Louis and Burr, like some of the really, I mean, if you look at that list, like nobody like needs the money really, or, you know, they're all doing really well. I personally, when I first heard, like there was a report or something that Dan and Big Cat and Dave were offered $10 million to go. And I was like, I'm fucking going. Like, somebody puts $5 million in front of me, I'll be honest, I'm going. And that, I really started to think through it, because when I said that, I was kind of like, yeah, no, duh. And a lot of people in my life who I really like value were kind of like, oh, that's unfortunate that you feel that way. And I was like, oh, fuck, I got to like kind of examine this. And I mean, of course, I understand the
this
big picture.
This is called being like, a grown up, man. Reflection.
Well, gross. Yeah. And it sounds silly, but it's like, I, of course, know why you shouldn't go. Yeah. But my thought is that whether that comedy festival happens or not, who goes, who doesn't go, that ain't changing anything. Yeah. So I might as well make this money and have my family set for life. But then you know what really changed it for me was I just showed you that video of Chappelle and Kevin Hart and these guys putting their hands in the sand, doing some sort of like customary greeting, whatever. And it made me think about like literally if you were to say yes and do that and you get on a plane and you go there and you have to like shake their hands and hug them and smile to
the
their
orb.
Face.
It's a propaganda. Do you're the orb. A tool.
They hold hands with everybody and you have to smile in their face while they obviously are using you and trying to play you and think that you don't even know what's going on here. Yeah. And like that would probably almost be harder for me than the important stuff. Cause the important stuff, unfortunately, I feel like is they're not going to change. And you know, the Middle East didn't change anytime soon. So I might as well. But then I thought about like spending a week there. Just from a point of view of like, I don't even get off the couch for like my friends, let alone to hang out with the fucking royal family of Saudi Arabia.
So they, so Dave and Rickett said, no, I missed that.
Yeah. So the, apparently, I don't know all the details, but they said that, but it was funny. They were like, don't get it twisted. We made an offer and they just didn't meet our offer. So the way Dan posed it was if it was 15 million, they would have gone. I don't know why they drew the line at 5 versus 7.5, but
everybody's got to have a line, man.
Yeah. But it was funny somewhere. So that story came out and they said, yeah, we turned it down. And they got some props for it, but you know, I don't know. It's just funny when it's like, well, we would have gone, but we didn't. And then once they, I think when they realized how much kind of social value you get out of being the guys who said no, they were like, yeah, we said no.
Same, but like on the Barstool stuff, like look, the live shit was so depressing to me, just as a cultural thing. Like my boy Rory, like takes a moral stand.
Brother from another mother.
Yeah, so I can take some moral stand against the Saudis. And you know, he got like gassed up about that for a while. And I was like, look, see, like that's you can do this. You can take a moral stand. You can still make money. And like, you can still fucking golf. And you don't have to take the Saudi blood money. We need somebody like Rory out there in the world. Fucking fast forward a year. And it's like, nope, Liv cuts a deal with PGA. Rory like apologizes basically for doing the right thing. And like all the fucking assholes like Bryson that took the fucking bag from Saudi, like walking, and Phil Mickelson are like walking around like their worldview is vindicated. I'm like, man, this sucks.
It does. It sucks. And it's like, that's why I was very, I mean, I just can't understand those guys, all those golfers, comedians, like, You got the money.
How much money you need?
Yeah, like I can understand if you are not.
You don't
rich.
Have a plane to get to the plane. I get it. Having to do Southwest and being at the FBO is really nice. Yeah. Once you've got the plane, though, feels like a second plane is not really like there's diminishing returns.
Unfortunately, it's very indicative of like what motivates people, and like it's just more. I mean, a lot of those comics, they remember when they were eating fucking, you know, free mozzarella sticks was why they went to the club, because you know, they had no money. And now, I mean, but again, like I can't say that I would just not entertain it.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
And I wish that wasn't the case. I do. I'm wondering why, like, I feel like there is like a hopelessness where it's like, I don't think me going or not going impacts things 1%.
Right.
And that also maybe it does with Dave Chappelle. Maybe if Louis said no, like, but yeah, for sure. Like it matters. You have to be able to sleep at night. I get that. But I think the reason why some people are saying yes is because it's like, I mean, Pete Davidson said yes.
Dad, lying to 9/11. I don't for me to tell you what you should do to honor your father's memory, but it's fucking weird.
I think the most justified person going there is Pete Davidson. If he's okay with it, then who am I? You know, that is batshit crazy. That one, that one's hard to reconcile. But it's, I really, it's always from Kimmel to the comedy, it comes back to money and power. And
all right, bro, I appreciate this, man. I think it's really like, I don't think you have, maybe you do now. Like, I don't know if people around here have any idea, like, the warped view that, like, the lib bubble has of Barstool.
Oh, no.
Like,
I get it.
Like,
I mean,
they're of the view that, like, everybody that, like, is into Barstool and does Barstool stuff is, like, a MAGA right winger that's irredeemable, that, like, there's no point even trying to get their vote. And, like, it's, like, totally wrong. It's insane. And so, I just think it's important to do this. So
totally.
People can be like, oh, right, no, actually, humans. They are also humans.
I stopped like even trying to like deny it, defend it, argue, show, because it was just like we've almost been politicized. I mean, I get it. Also, Dave leans very right in recent years.
As you said, a lot of the fans are different.
Representative.
And, yeah.
Yeah. But I think that's part of the problem is like we just take entertainers or companies or whatever, and it's like, you're left, you're right. I hate you. I don't like you. Da, da, da. And, you know, even you said something earlier that was like, fuck, I can't remember what it was, but you were sort of like, I actually agree with what he said. And it, and the just the mere fact that I think you feel like you have to like put out a disclaimer or a qualifier. Right. It's like, you should be able to agree and disagree with people on different issues, that it's never just a blanket statement, you know? Let me ask you this. I think one of the biggest problems, and like why I go back to why like I seemingly can't bring it myself to vote. I think the two-party system is like a big problem. Is that, am I off base? And second part is, I mean, like, I don't think it's going to ever change that.
We were one of the first fucking democracies. And like, if you look at the people that learned from us, like most, you know, the German democracy is not
like 10 parties.
Exactly. And there's a lot of ways that the German system is better than ours.
Women, and, like, they learned minorities, from us. Like,
and they had to go through Hitler first. Yeah. And all that. But like, they came out the other side and they had like 150 years and been like, oh, wait, we should do it like that. And so now the system sucks. I think I think that there is no real hope for a permanent third party. I do think that, like, I wish people would start third parties in, like, states. So I'm in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. And I wish that, like, somebody would just start. I wish the Democrats would basically go extinct in Louisiana and something else would emerge. Mm-hmm. Like, and then, you know, maybe that party just exists, like, in the South and in, like, Utah and Idaho or something, you know? And it's like, here's the alternative, you know, and it doesn't have some of the baggage of the National Party. Maybe there's an inverse of that in California, you know, and...
Okay, you know what you're describing? What? My most radical idea? This country's too big, bro.
Break up the country.
We need to break up this country. Okay. There's just no way...
breaking up California, because the Democrats need more Senate seats, and I think we need five Californias.
I just think, like, there's no way that my values and concerns and whatever in the Northeast are ever going to align with someone from, like, Alabama. Like, we're different countries, just effectively.
Yeah.
Like we're living, it's so physically big. And so I know, but it's just like, why should I be voting on the border when I don't,
I have to move out of New Orleans or I lose the SEC,
bro.
You're out.
Yeah. You lose football. No, you can come live in like a lib heaven.
Stay together.
You could be in a lib cuck empire up in the Northeast.
Here's my other optimistic view for you. I always get the, could there be a third party presidential question from somebody, and they always want like, somebody like my politics, which is like the cliche one you just mentioned, like more fiscally conservative, more socially liberal. There just aren't enough people like that out there. Like the inverse.
You think so?
No, there aren't. The inverse. Really? The inverse could work though. A famous person, a barstool person type person who has like, not like evangelical Christian conservative views, but like has some conservative views, has some stuff that makes me a little uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe some of their views on like, on trans stuff or on gays or whatever, like, you know, I'm not saying that they're like far, far right, but like they have some conservative cultural vibes,
right?
You know, and they're economically like Bernie.
Yeah.
So this is not something somebody would appeal to me at all. That third party would be interesting because third party would divide both parties, because like there are a lot of like socially conservative people in the Republican Party that wish that like aren't on board for like the corporate tax cut shit because they're not rich.
Right.
And there's some Dems, you know, that want the lefty populist stuff.
Yeah.
And aren't as, you know, that and aren't on board with like the full woke kind of agenda. I think that probably would work. It'd have to be a really famous person.
Yeah.
Like really famous.
Right.
And they'd have to have.
It needs to be like a Trump, but for the, you know, like.
That's possible. But I don't know who that is.
I mean, my like perception of a third party has always just been like it fractures your votes and it's a bad thing and like it's a joke. I can't even imagine what it would take to even if you found that perfect person to get enough people to just break out of the idea of left and right. Yeah, like,
it's tough.
But I think it would. I mean, I'm like, Dave's running for president one day. Like I'm waiting for that. You know.
Yeah, he's tough though. He breaks it. He's pro-choice. It's hard to do. It's hard to be a pro-choice Republican.
That's the sort of stuff like that I think we have to figure out a way to like that Feinbaum, shouldn't define like
Feinbaum is apparently going to run as a MAGA Republican. And everybody that I talked to down there says like he used to follow me on Twitter, which I was like, you're not a MAGA Republican. If you if you're a professional MAGA, you follow me to like see what the other side's saying. Right.
Right. But you're like in your soul, guy, you're
not following me and like what, like watching my shit posting every day.
I
think it's bullshit.
I think you might be as like indoctrinated in a way too. Like I think you don't even realize how much that stuff does overlap. Or maybe I don't know.
I'm so in anyway,
New York bubble and like
Feinbaum, you know, though, like running as a MAGA Republican would be insane.
Yeah, that would be nuts.
That would be like crazy. Runs as like a Tommy Tuberville type.
Yeah, guy. I mean that would be
nobody. Anyway, I've talked to a bunch of people. They don't think that that was his politics, but
it
seems
apparently
like
it is. Yeah, I just think there's more people out there that
Feinbaum
are
first Dave
normal.
Primary.
What a world.
It's the 2032 presidential primary.
Can the Democrats really not, like, they can't muster up, like, one guy that or girl that they think is, like, because I feel like the party also, it's not like, I feel like the Democrats didn't, like, have their golden goose and he just couldn't get the job done. I feel like you guys are fractured and don't know who to, like, prop up either. And, like,
no, they got nobody.
And I hate to, I don't want to be this way, but it's like, I don't know if, like, a black woman was the best candidate to take down Trump in that at that time, you know? So, like, can you find a guy who is, checks the boxes?
Yeah. I mean, Westmore is just kind of like a poor man's Obama. Yeah. So, like, maybe that's good enough. You know, he can lift. I don't know, man. It's tough.
Yeah,
it's
and also it feels like, you know, I think what was appealing about Trump is that he wasn't this like lifelong politician. Yeah,
right.
But now I almost feel like we need to get back to some of that like presidential politician. But is the horse out of the barn? It's going to need to be a celebrity, or it's going to
need
to be.
I don't know. I mean, there could be.
I also feel like the job's not appealing. I think your best minds and your most capable people are like, I'm going to go be in tech, or I'm going to go make $1 billion.
The president's maybe different. That's true for Congress for sure. Being Congress sucks now. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it depends on how bad he fucks up the economy. I mean, or even if it's an accident, you know what I mean? Whatever. Yeah. If like the economy gets really fucked up, then maybe like a normal Democrat could do well. But if he does,
MAGA people will jump ship if they're broke.
Yeah,
like,
but if he does okay, then I don't know. Then the Dems will need some outsider type person too, I think. Just think that's where we at.
I don't know who it is, but yeah, you need that.
All right, bro. I appreciate the time, man. Thank you, man. This has been so fun.
I hope that people don't hate me for not voting.
Thank you for doing this. We do have a lot of like moms and grandmoms that listen, and you know, that you might be getting some notes about them. Just letting you know to do better. But that's
the okay. Mexican people like me, right?
Mexicans, we love you. Everybody else, that's KFC Marshall. Follow his
shit. For real.
Follow his shit. We'll see you soon.